Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back to Talking Out Loud. I am your host, Drew, flying solo here for the first part of the show. We did an interview with Chad Brendel from BearcatJournal.com to break down the Dayton and UC game. That'll be coming your way here shortly. But first, I wanted to touch on the UNLV game from Tuesday night. And what a game that was. Dayton survived 66-65 on the back of a late Malachi Smith and one. And, you know, Dayton just kind of did what they needed to do. They just found a way to grind out a win that they needed to. And when you looked at the schedule and you saw Marquette, UNLV, Cincinnati all in a row, you thought to yourself, well, that's a pretty darn tough stretch. Now, UNLV hasn't been very good this year, but even still, you get the big, gigantic emotional win on Saturday night against Marquette, and you got to turn around 2 days later and play a UNLV team who's coming to the arena before you travel down to Cincinnati to play another top 25 team in Cincinnati. I think everybody in the world was screaming, trap game, trap game, trap game. That is a trap game. And sure enough, Dayton found themselves in a dogfight with UNLV. I didn't think they played all that bad, which is kind of crazy to say because, you know, of how close of a game it was. I just felt like UNLV just, they wouldn't really go away. And it looked like they were going to steal the game late, but instead Dayton snatches it right back with the Malachi Smith and one. UNLV gets a great look, about a 17-footer on the baseline that goes begging. Dayton escapes 66-65. And, you know, sometimes that's going to be what it takes. This season, especially once you get into Atlantic 10 play, is you're going to be playing a team that's not as good as you, that you are better than, that it's just not your night. It's a close game late. You just got to find a way to grind those kind of games out, and that's exactly what Dayton did. So I think ultimately, for as frustrated as you may have been on Tuesday night, for as anxious as you may have been on Tuesday night, Lord knows I was, I think Dayton will ultimately be better off for it. And, you know, sometimes winning like that is almost better than winning by 20. And, you know, some people will roll their eyes at that, but I think it's true. I think it drives a very, very intrinsic value of how to win different style of basketball games. And on Tuesday night, Dayton just, they found a way to win. And at the end of the day, that's what matters. I tweet the Al Davis GIF every game, and I don't do it just because it's fun or it's funny or it's Al Davis, yada, yada, yada. It's because it's how college basketball works. You have to win the games that you need to win. Now, you know, Dayton plays Cincinnati on Friday. If they lose, it's not the end of the world. The sky won't be falling. Dayton will still be comfortably in the NCAA tournament, even if they lose on Friday night. And if they win, we can start talking about what seed Dayton potentially is going to be as long as they don't shit the bed in A-10 play. Now, you look at the box score from this game on Tuesday, and just look at how balanced everything is. UNLV shot 22 of 53 from the field, 41%. Dayton, 24 for 51, 47%. Both shot 13 of 16 from the line. Both had 30 rebounds. UNLV turned it over 7 times. Dayton turned it over 8, only once in the second half again. And UNLV, the difference in the game, UNLV was 8 of 19 from 3, including Rishwain, or however you pronounce his last name, going 4 of 7 in the second half, including some tough, tough threes. And one late that looked like it may have sunk Dayton, but ultimately Dayton found a way to win. Dayton was only 5 of 21, so if you're doing some basic math, Dayton is 9 of 40 in their last 2 games from 3. Let me say that again. Dayton, in their last 2 games, is 9 of 40. That is good for 22.5%. That's not great. That's not great. Hopefully, the shooting can, you know, it's been inconsistent this year. They shot it very well in Maui, obviously, but, you know, I feel like everybody, you could shoot it. I could shoot it well in Maui. You, the listener, could shoot it well in Maui. But, you know, so the three-point shooting is a bit of a concern, but, you know, Dayton is in a good spot as they head into this game with UC, and you just hope that they can, you know, kind of just keep this momentum that they've built for themselves going. And boy, if you can get this one on Friday night, it would go a long, long way. UC is coming off their first win in the Crosstown Shootout over Xavier since 2018. Wes Miller, who I think is a tremendous coach, gets his first win in the Crosstown Shootout, and you could see the weight lifted off of his shoulders and by the teams. They have not played since the Crosstown Shootout last Saturday, so they've had a week off to prepare for Dayton. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, rest versus rust kind of play out in this game on Friday night. But, you know, you don't need to listen to me break it down for, you know, 20 minutes and diving through Cincinnati's box scores and figuring out how they operate through game film and Google searches. Instead, I just went straight to a source. Chad Brendel, owner and operator of BearcatJournal.com, was kind enough to give me about 20 to 25 minutes of his time today. And, you know, join. We break down everything Dayton UC, how UC's season is going, who are the impact players for UC, and how he sees this game going and how he sees it playing out. So we're going to take a quick break, and on the other side, it'll be me and Chad Brendel.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we now welcome on a very special guest, the first of its kind, the first UC-related guest we've had on the show. He's the founder of BearcatJournal.com. He's a connoisseur of 90s hip-hop and Big East basketball and a generational Xavier hater. Chad Brendel, welcome to the show.
Generational Xavier hater.
Generational. You heard it.
I think they hate me almost as much as they hate anything. So it's delightful.
That's probably fair. After the interactions I've seen on the bird between you and the Xavier faithful, I think that's very fair to say. Chad, thanks for coming on the show. Founder of BearcatJournal.com. I'll give you a quick minute to plug Bearcat Journal. How did it start, and what do you guys do now?
Started in 06. I didn't actually found it. I was the first employee. I'm number 2 in the company.
Gotcha.
But then, you know, longevity, I outlasted the guy that found it.
There you go.
And then I bought ownership and was a partner for a while, and then became the sole proprietor in 2016. So we're going on 8 years as the sole owner, but I started in 06. We're on 18 years.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
And you guys do a lot of great work. Obviously, with me moving down to Cincinnati, I became much more familiar with your work. And then we got the chance to work together on ESPN 1530 and 700 WLW. And I remember the first day that we worked together, you asked me, you're like, "Do you know college hoop?" I go, "I do." And you go, "Good. We're going to talk about it." And I think I held my own on that very first show that day. And I think, you know, it takes a ball knower to know one.
Exactly. I mean, I'm a little bit different on the radio. Like, I like my producers to be involved. A lot of people just like to talk to themselves into the microphone. That's not really my thing. Like, I want to have some interaction. But the person on the other end has to know what they're talking about, or else it doesn't really work. And you did a wonderful job.
Well, thank you.
And always easy when I know when I see Drew on the sheet, it's like, all right. Taryn and I have a great relationship, you know. So when I see that Taryn's not there, I get a little worried. And then I see Drew, and I'm like, all right, we're gonna be okay. This is
We're
gonna be
good.
fine.
We're good. All right. Well, let's just dive straight into it. The Cincinnati Bearcats, coming off their first win in the Crosstown Shootout in what, 5 years? 2018 was the last time they had won, correct? Wes Miller's first. I want to start there. Let's start with the head honcho. I like the guy. I've always liked the guy. It feels like he's got the program going in the right direction. You know, let's just kind of pull the scope out here. What are your thoughts on Wes Miller, where he has the program going? Do you think he's the guy? You know, things like that. What stands out about Wes Miller and how he's built Cincinnati's basketball program?
So I, you know, the thing that's very interesting with Wes is in the transfer portal era, it is very easy to go for the quick fix, you know, to just go grab a bunch of transfers, and then year two, you got to go grab a bunch more transfers, and to not have kind of a long-term vision of this thing. It has taken a little bit of time, but because of the way he has handled things, the program is on a very stable foundation right now. And that's the part that I think that has been important. It has taken a little bit of patience from the fan base, because you look around and, you know, maybe you see a situation like Missouri, you know, where Dennis Gates came in that first year and Missouri was really good. Well, then if you look at the second year, they didn't win a game in the SEC. Because, you know, you're constantly in that mode of you have to build a new team every year. You have to completely restructure who you are and what you're about every season. I think that's probably been my favorite thing about Wes is that in this era of quick fix, he decided to take the long road. And that is not an easy road to take, because you know, especially when you're transitioning from a conference like the American all the way up to, you know, one of the top two conferences in the sport, you're going to take some lumps. It's not going to be easy. But he stuck with it, and he didn't panic, and he didn't, you know, throw the baby out for the bathwater, so to speak. And this year appears to be year one of reaping those rewards of having a veteran team and a team of, you know, almost the entire roster are top 100 recruits. He brings kind of that mentality from North Carolina of, you got to have talent. You can't, you know, it's very difficult, especially in the situation they're in, to expect to win without elite talent. And, you know, this roster's been a lot of fun to watch. And I think he's done a really good job putting things together.
Yeah, you know, you look at the box score from last year's Dayton-Cincinnati game, and you can see the continuity from last year to this year. You know, you see Bandego still there. Day-Day Thomas is still there, and he's accepted a new role. He started in the game last year, and now he's coming off the bench while Jizzle James is the starter. You know, and that speaks to how, you know, Wes Miller can cultivate a group and get somebody like a Day, you know, because it's very easy. You know, you see Jizzle James last year, you know that he's destined to be that starting guard for you. And it says a lot about not just Coach Wes Miller, but also Day-Day himself to be like, hey, I'm not going to be the one to stunt this kid's growth. I'll take a lesser role. I can still be an impact player for this team off the bench. And he is. And, you know, it's a lot of the same guys from last year. Obviously, Victor Locken is gone. CJ Frederick is gone. And Newman is gone. But, you know, Skillings and
Well,
Lukosha.
actually, CJ Frederick is still around. He's just not playing right now.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. But then, you know, you see Dan Skillings and Simas Lukosius, who came off the bench last year. They are now starters. You bring in Mitchell. It's a great job of keeping your foundational pieces while adding, you know, a Mitchell to it and keeping that foundation. What is one area that how UC has played this year that has impressed you and you like what you've seen? And what's one area that you think has room for improvement?
I thought in terms of room for improvement, I genuinely believe that this could be one of the best, like, and by one of the best, I mean like top five, like rebounding teams in America. And they've been good on the glass, but losing Dan Skillings in the opener and then not having him for a month. Like Dan is a different, like, I don't know that I've seen a player like him because he's not conventional. You can't really like put him in a box of like this is the type player that he is, but what he affects more than anything is the glass. At 6'6", he's got an incredible knack for being able to rebound out of his position. I think as he continues to work back into that rotation, having a duo like him and Dylan Mitchell that are both, outstanding out of area rebounders, guys that can just go get the ball. It doesn't have to come to them. They can go attack it and take it away from you. That is the area I think that you're going to see this team continue to improve as you continue to see Dan Skillings, work himself back into being the player that, he was expected to be this year. What I like, they're doing a good job offensively pushing tempo. They're not forcing it. Sorry, I've got the hiccups. This cold is
It's all good.
messing with me majorly right now. They're not forcing tempo. They're not recklessly, just outrunning and turning it over and being inconsistent with it. I mean, they are smart in those instances, and they're doing a great job finishing. A lot of their finishing right now has been via the lob. When you have Aziz Bandego and you have Dylan Mitchell and you have Dan Skillings, like you can play above the rim with those guys. And last year, one of their biggest weaknesses was they got a lot of shots at the rim. They just didn't make a lot of shots at the rim. And that is an area where, I mean, what they had 8 dunks against Xavier, which to have that many dunks against a power four, power five opponent, whatever you want to call them. I know, we like to call them a mid-major, but when you're able to get out and run like that and then finish with authority, you really put a lot of pressure on the opposing defense. They can't send a lot of guys to the offensive glass because they have to get back. So it is increased their efficiency offensively. And that's something that I'm interested to see at Dayton, and then you get into the Big E or the Big 12. Can they continue that? Because the competition gets tougher. It's not gonna be as easy to just throw the ball up and let somebody, dunk on somebody's head 8, 10 times a game.
Right, and that's a pretty good segue to what I was going to ask you. You tweeted on Saturday night when Dayton was in the middle of beating number 6 Marquette, their second Big East top 10 win of the season. This is the fourth time that I've watched Dayton play, and it's the fourth time I've thought these guys can go. What are kind of your first initial, observations of watching Dayton and how they match up with the Bearcats?
Size is going to be the most interesting matchup here, right? Because if you look at what Cincinnati starts, they have decent size at point guard. It's not like they've got a 6'6", kind of mutant at point guard. But Dede Thomas and Jizzle James are both over 6 foot. They're not super long, but they're effective point guard height. But then Dan Skillings, Simas Lukosius, Dylan Mitchell, Aziz Bandego, you go 6'6", 6'8", 6'8", 7 foot. That is the exact opposite of Dayton, who, a lot of times they'll have 3 6-foot, sub-6-foot guards on the floor. So does Cincinnati go with that length and really use it to try to run Dayton off the 3-point line, because that is something that defensively Cincinnati is excellent at. I think Dayton last year, because of Holmes, really gave Cincinnati kind of like a choose your adventure. Pulled that one from way out of there, because you had to figure out, are you gonna do what you need to do to stop Holmes? And then, Kobe Elvis last year, I think he shot an NCAA record 163 free throws in that game. Every time you looked, Kobe Elvis was at the free throw
He was
line.
14 of 14 from the free throw line.
It was ridiculous how good he was, how efficient he was. Getting the
28 of 30
Cincinnati
in the game
defense,
for Dayton last year from the line.
getting the Cincinnati defense on their heels. And that is something that Cincinnati is usually one of the best teams in the country at not fouling. And I think it was just because they had some of that ability to kind of work inside out that kept the Cincinnati defense on their heels. So that's going to be interesting is, how do they react initially to that? And then if Dayton does have some success, do you see Cincinnati go small? And have like a Jizzle James, Day-Day Thomas combo out there for a while, or Connor Hickman, one of the other new guys, who has been a really good perimeter defender. They've got the ability to kind of go smaller to match up with Dayton's quickness, but that takes away from their advantage, which is their size and length with Skillings and Lukosius and Mitchell. If you have that lineup of, say Jizzle James, Dan Skillings, and Simas Lukosius is not exactly the most fleet of foot guy. So does he get caught in some situations on the perimeter where a guy can beat him off the bounce, can use his quickness and ability to play off shot fakes and come off of screens? Because Dayton does a really good job. I mean, look, I have a deep experience with Anthony Grant. He was, when I went to college at Marshall, Anthony Grant was on staff. It was, I believe, his first job under head coach Billy Donovan, who was the head coach of Marshall at the time. Anthony Grant is a phenomenal coach, just a phenomenal coach. And he knows how to get the most out of his guys. They are incredibly efficient offensively. And I think that the getting to the foul line thing is probably going to be a swing factor in this game. They took that ability away from Xavier, which Xavier is another one of those teams that, they like to get to the foul line 17, 20, 22 times a game. Cincinnati made more free throws than Xavier shot in the Crosstown shootout, and it was a game decided by 3 points. So the length versus the quickness, I think, is that one matchup you look at and say, how does this play out?
Just looking at from last year's game, I just kind of found this to be interesting. Do you know how many points Dayton is bringing back with them to this matchup this season?
It's got to be low.
It is
I mean,
low.
Holmes, Elvis, and Brea had to be 80% of their scoring, it felt like.
They're bringing back 15 points. 15 of their 82 points are coming back to play in this game. Holmes finished with 28. Elvis finished with 27. Bennett finished with 2, and Cheeks finished with 4. So now, obviously, that was last year. Enoch Cheeks has taken his offensive game to a new level. Javon Bennett has shot the ball much better this year than he has last year. And they brought back Malachi Smith, who, truth be told, when we were getting him back, I wasn't exactly sure what kind of version of Malachi Smith we were going to get. Turns out he's just one of the most efficient point guards at getting assists and not turning the ball over. So it's a different Dayton team with a lot of the same pieces. Obviously, they have Zed Key transfer from Ohio State and Posh Alexander transfer from Butler. And then a man who is quickly becoming a fan favorite amongst the Dayton faithful. We call him the Big Baguette. Lamiel Latong from France, 7'1", can step out and shoot the three. So that's kind of the Dayton squad you're getting this year. Against UC. So it's some new faces, some familiar faces, which is, I think, is a good thing to see in college basketball. I kind of want to shift it into this direction, though. This game's taking place at the Heritage Bank Center, which, quite frankly, I think is a dog shit arena, if I'm being nice.
That's a kind way to put it.
I agree. So, obviously, there are some other factors here. This is technically like a holiday classic event that's put on, but what I would like to see is, and obviously things change and scheduling's hard, especially in today's day and age, but like, why can't we do home and homes just every year like Dayton does or like Xavier does with Cincinnati? And I get it, Crosstown Shootout, that's rooted in history. But after the success, you can see that the want for it is there with these last two seasons. Both these programs are trending in the right direction. I don't think going to Dayton is a bad loss anymore. I talked about this on our last show about how Marquette isn't going to leave losing at Dayton like, oh gosh, like we're in trouble. It's like, no, we lost to a top 20 team or top 22 team on the road at a notoriously hard place to play where they've won 25 in a row. So who do we need to talk to? Whose pockets do we need to grease to get Dayton to come down and play at Fifth Third Arena and UC to come up and play back at UD Arena?
So I think one of the things, one of the reasons that you're seeing this at a neutral site, and the schools aren't allowed to talk about it, but it's there. There is an NIL element to this game. So if you can put a decent amount of coin in the NIL pockets for each school, I think that is kind of like why this is the Makes way sense. That it is. I don't think they would mind doing a home and home. I don't think anybody's against it. I just think they've seen the opportunity. And, you know, let's be honest, Drew. This year, they are on pace to sell out.
Yeah.
And if you sell out a 17,000-seat arena and both schools get, you know, an NIL element from the company that is putting on the event, it is very hard to go back on that.
Right. For sure.
Especially, you know, both schools, I think, are in an okay place with NIL. But if you can add, you know, a six-figure check, in today's day and age, like, that might be a starter next year that you got out of this game. So I am with you in that I prefer seeing home and home matchups, but I think this is kind of a sweet spot for both of these teams because, look, Dayton's got one of the best fan bases in college sports and one of the most loyal, you know, ride or die fan bases in college sports. For the Dayton fan base, it's a chance to come downtown, have a night, a weekend of it. You know, you stay somewhere close to downtown, you go visit our loyal partners at the Holy Grail. You know, you, since you're here, you might as well have yourself some Cincy Lights.
Great beer, by the way.
While you're down there. It is.
Screaming advertisement for Cincy Light here. This has nothing to do with Dayton. Tremendous beer. Tremendous beer. Continue. Yes.
So, you know, I think it gives kind of an element to Dayton fans of, like, you get to have the luxury of, like, a road trip, but it's an hour away.
But right.
And it's tougher for Cincinnati fans because this is what they've struggled with. And I told Wes this the first time he told me they were thinking about this game. I said, UC fans don't want to go. And he said, what do you mean? Like, we're the Bearcats. They're Bearcat fans. I said, everybody in this town hates that arena. Everybody. And they don't see it as a luxury. They see it as an annoyance to have to go to that.
To go there.
So what you have to do is, if you're a top 20 team and Dayton's a top 20 team, then all of a sudden the UC fans are a little bit more engaged in making the trip. But last year, you were coming off a crosstown shootout loss. You know, everybody was a little bit frustrated with the situation. And Dayton ended up with more fans in the arena. I don't think it was as many as people. Like, I saw, 70-30 Dayton fans.
Well,
no.
I think what a lot of people are equating it to is they looked around with about 4 minutes to go when Dayton was up 18 points.
Sure.
And a lot of the Cincinnati, because I believe it, I think I asked Mo. I asked Mo, like, what was it at tip-off, do you think? And he goes, it was probably about 55-45, 60-40.
Yeah, right in there.
To Dayton. And I was like, that feels a little more accurate than, you know, the some of the figures. And it's just one of those things, that number has just kind of grown, especially within Dayton circles. And, you know, I'm always one to kind of have fun. Like, oh, yeah, it was 75-25. What are you talking about? We came into town and we just rolled over. But it was probably closer. Go ahead.
UC fans didn't have a chance to cheer.
Yeah.
Dayton kicked their ass.
Yeah.
So the Cincinnati fans that were there kind of watched the game like this.
Yep. And hey, I believe it was the last time they played in that arena. I don't remember the exact score. UC won by roughly a billion. That was me with my dad. I believe I was in, like, freshman in high school or something. And I remember, I was like, man, this ain't going well.
Ironically.
It ain't going well, Pops.
That was the last time those rims were used before they rolled them back out last year. The worst. That is something that you have to keep an eye on in this game. Fortunately, last year for Dayton, they didn't hit the rim.
Right.
So they didn't have to worry about the bad rims at US Bank Arena because everything was just dead center, pull it out of the bottom of the net. If they aren't as precise this year, those are awful rims. Awful.
Just for sake of comparison, 14 of 46 from three between the two teams last season. And if you remove Kobe Brea as 4 of 5, it gets even worse.
Yeah.
Because, well, Kobe Brea is
It's
one
a
of the,
tough place to shoot.
it's a tough place to shoot. And yet, even still, Kobe Brea, 4 of 5 from three. Gosh, that guy can shoot the basketball. I miss him dearly. All right, Chad. I said I'd keep you about 20, 30 minutes. So we'll wrap it up here. One question for you. With Dayton and Cincinnati, obviously, it's a rivalry, but it's not one rooted in, hate or distaste or anything like that. Like, sure,
Yeah.
you may get some people chirping online, but at the end of the day, I feel like Dayton and UC can kind of look across the aisle with the silent understanding of, yeah, fuck those guys from Norwood anyway.
Yeah. Yeah,
What's
we
kind,
have
what? Go
the
ahead.
enemy of
My
your
enemy,
enemy is my
my
friend,
friend.
right?
Correct.
Like,
I think that describes Dayton and UC perfectly. It's always great when we can get together and play. That being said, give me a prediction, a score. What do you think is going to happen? Who's a an X factor for UC and who's an X factor for Dayton?
I think UC wins. I do think it's going to be close. I just think the depth of Cincinnati is something we haven't talked about. Dayton is pretty much strictly seven deep. Cincinnati, they'll play 10, sometimes 11. They did shorten that, and I will be interested to see. They kind of matched Xavier's rotations in the shootout, where, if Xavier's best players were on the floor, UC's best players were on the floor. We saw some guys, which Wes Miller rarely does, especially in non-conference, up over 30 minutes. But I do think depth can be a factor here. I do think rebounding and length gives a decided edge to Cincinnati. And I mean, the rims are going to make both teams less efficient than what they normally are offensively. It would have been that way last year if it wasn't for Dayton, making 200% of their free throws. So I think Cincinnati wins a close one. I would guess upper 60s, lower 70s point range. I think it's going to come down to the wire. I think it's going to be a very entertaining game. And hopefully with the arena full, you get what we didn't get for very long last year, which is one of the fun things of like a split 50-50 arena,
Right.
is it gets super intense.
Yeah.
If you get a close game in that situation, in that setting, it really goes back and forth. I'll go with an X factor for Cincinnati. I think it's Skillings.
Yep.
Third game back, he looked a little worn down in the Xavier game, but a lot of that was because he was chasing Ryan Conwell relentlessly. I don't know that Dayton has anybody that operates with as much movement as Conwell does off of ball screens, off ball screens, trying to get him clear. So, I think that's going to be an interesting, thing to watch. But I think for Dayton, maybe Santos.
I was going to say Nate Santos. This feels like a game where he needs to play well. When he's playing well, Dayton's really, really tough to stop because it
Yeah.
kind of opens up everyone else. We don't necessarily have that, like, okay, we've gone four possessions without a basket. Who are we giving the ball? Like, we'll give the ball to Santos. He's not really that guy. Like, he's not going to just be like, all right, give me the ball. I'm going to
Right.
create something. I'm going to go score here to quell this, 6-0 run that the opponent's on. But when he plays well and he's playing with confidence, it opens up everybody else. I think he's the big X factor. He's had some big moments in the last two games, but he hasn't necessarily played very well in the last two games. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. But Chad, I
And
can't think. Go ahead.
I would guess Dylan Mitchell gets that assignment, who
I
is
would imagine
Cincinnati's
so.
best defender. So that's going to be a really fun matchup to watch to see who gets the advantage there.
All right. Well, Chad, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. I really do appreciate it. If you want more from Chad, obviously you can go to bearcatjournal.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Chad Brendel. Do that. at your own
If you want
risk.
to, if you want to follow, no, like I don't really. I used to argue with everybody. Okay,
Now he only
I don't
argues with
really.
Xavier people.
Just Xavier people. So if you're a Dayton fan and you enjoy seeing somebody roast Xavier fans with regularity,
You won't find
I'm your
anybody
guy.
better.
I'm your
He
guy.
is your man. He is your man. All right, Chad. Well, hopefully we'll see you. Hopefully we'll see you Friday night around the
I'll be
arena.
there.
I'll be there as well. So if we run into each other, maybe whoever's team wins, loser buys a Cincy Light for the winner.
That's fair. Or, I always buy lunch anyway, but
All right. Yeah.
loser gets lunch next time we work together.
Fair enough. That could work as well. All right, Chad.
All
Thanks again, and take care. All right.
right. Appreciate it, Drew. Thank you.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, that was Chad Brendel from BearcatJournal.com. Again, if you're interested on seeing somebody just jab back and forth with Xavier people online, Chad is the man to follow. Great, great guy, Chad. I really do enjoy working with him when I get the chance to work with him at the radio station, and I'm very, very grateful that he carved out some time for us on the show today. So that's going to do it for us on this edition of Talking Out Loud. He gave his prediction at the end of the interview. I'm going to give mine. I'm going to say Dayton ekes out a 2-point victory, 75-73, and we march on to A-10 play with only two losses in the non-con. And we are not discussing if Dayton is going to be in the NCAA tournament, but rather what seed they are going to be. Should be a fun night on Friday night. I'm going to be in the house. Hopefully, a lot of the Dayton people are making the trip. Hopefully, a lot of the Flyer faithful, the many Flyer faithful here in the Queen City of Cincinnati. Make their way downtown. Should be a fun environment tonight, rather, when this is being released on Friday. So we have two rules on this show, and tomorrow they are going to be very, very, very crucial. It is wear red or chapel blue. I'm not sure exactly what uniform Dayton is wearing tomorrow, but regardless, the rules are wear red and be loud. Let's go get us another victory here in the Queen City and move on to A-10 play. So until next time, cheers.